In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. March 23rd, the year of our Lord, 2024. You guys know where First String Sports is, right? Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show off to the right-hand side in the Letterman's Jacket Room. No other place I'd rather do my show than this room. Gets me in the spirit talking about high school sports. And that's what we're going to do for the next 2 hours. A little bit of Fresno State talk as well. And, of course, I mentioned it's March. March 23rd already. It's late March. I guess we can consider this late March, but March Madness is certainly in the air. The last 2 days have been tons of fun watching college basketball, listening to college basketball, which you're doing here on 1430 ESPN. And if you were listening to college basketball and I interrupted you following the games, I'm sorry. But for 2 hours, we're going to be talking about the cool local stuff that's going on. And right after my show, though, I promise, absolutely promise, you're going to go back to listening to the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, I've had, let's just say, the last 2 days at school. You know, I'm a teacher. Well, spring break is here, too, so I'm very excited about that. But last couple days, I've had a vested interest. I got my students interested in, too. I had them fill out a bracket, and I used it as a math lesson. Right? Probability. What's the probability that Yale is going to win? Right? Pretty low. But did they do it? Absolutely. How about all those other 11 seeds like Oregon, North Carolina State, Oakland over Kentucky, right? Low probability, but it still happened. So, of course, I turned it into a math lesson. The kids were into it. It was a lot of fun checking it at lunchtime and different times throughout the day. But anyway, March Madness is here. I think, in my opinion, you know, we talk a lot about high school playoff system, what's broken. What needs to be changed? What's fair, right? What's unfair? Talk a lot about that type of stuff. And I've mentioned in the past that March Madness NCAA bracket is it's perfect. It's perfection, right? And I'm hearing things about allowing more teams in it. What, 78 teams bumping it up? No, man. It's perfect as is. It doesn't need fixing. The nation is captivated by March Madness. Don't change it. Absolutely don't change it. So lots of tons of games going on today. I just want to mention them really quick. Arizona-Dayton's happening right now. What is it, 20-11? Wildcats are winning that one. Kansas and Gonzaga, that's going to be a great one at 12-15. A couple blue bloods. Michigan State, North Carolina. North Carolina is the 1 seed. Michigan State is the 9 seed. They're always like a 7, 8, 9 seed. They always win a few games. They're tough. They play at 2:30. Washington State, Iowa State. A lot of people picked Iowa State to make it to the Final Four. That's at 3:10. Oakland, I mentioned them, beating Kentucky. How fun was that? That dude that made 10 three-pointers. Division II transfer, and he takes it to Kentucky. Man, that's one of the reasons why we love March Madness. They take on NC State, an 11 seed, and I watched them throughout the ACC tournament. They look strong. They got a big daddy in the middle. Dude is huge, and he's making an impact. So that's an intriguing game. Someone's going to win that one, right? A 14 seed or an 11 seed is going to advance to next week. They're playing at 4:10. Texas and Tennessee at 5 o'clock, fighting Rodney Terry's, take on the Volunteers. Duquesne, Illinois at 5:40. Duquesne, I picked that one. And I think I filled out 3 brackets, and I picked them all. I picked Duquesne in all those. So, yeah, got a little bit lucky with that one, but they're playing at 5:40. And then the nightcap, Oregon, 11 seed, is playing Creighton. And a lot of Fresno State people have eyes on Creighton because rumored is one of the top candidates is one of the assistants, Coach Miller. So we're going to keep an eye on that game a little bit. So anyway, March Madness is here. Love this time of year. Baseball is also in the air. We've got a lot of baseball talk, a lot of high school baseball talk today on the program. I want to mention Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sure. They do an incredible job sponsoring 1430 ESPN. Right now it's 52 degrees, And by 5 o'clock, there's a 30% chance of rain. I think 35% chance of rain at 6 o'clock. I know Fresno State Baseball has that big weekend series with Air Force. Lost a tough one last night. It was scheduled to be played at 3:05 today. They bumped it up to 12:05. So the Bulldogs are playing at 12:05. And then tomorrow, I believe at the same time, 12:05 against Air Force. So, yeah, the rain is causing some changes in the baseball world. So, yeah, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring high school sports and 1430 in general. All right. Spam call. You guys probably heard that. I hate the spam call. Come on, guys. Yeah, you guys know that in all the brackets that are filled out on all the major platforms, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, there are zero perfect brackets right now. After day one, there was 2,100. Not bad. And it was fun because Bijan Robinson, the running back for the Falcons for Texas, he had a perfect bracket after day one. So that was neat. So he was one of the 2,100. He posted that on social media. But there are zero perfect brackets left. What are the odds? Like one in like a billion? Something wild like that to have a perfect bracket throughout the tournament. So zero. And if your bracket is busted, probably got busted in day one, right? Especially with that Oakland and Kentucky game. But, yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. As long as you could get a couple Final Four teams and pick that champion, you're in really good shape. All right, so what's on the docket today? Who's coming on the show? I mentioned that we got a lot of baseball talk. We got Fowler baseball coach Bill Fever discussing the Fowler Easter Classic. He's coming up right after the break. We had some games played last Saturday. There's eight teams in this tournament. They're picking up Monday. Redcats are looking pretty strong this year. They're 9-2. Around 10:35 or so after Coach Fever, Jason Pappy, friend of the show, head coach at Fresno High, the man in charge of the massive, massive Fresno Easter Classic. I believe there's 65 games being played over 3 days. That is a massive undertaking. Seven different sites, John Euless Park and Clovis Schools and Madera, are hosting games starting at 10 o'clock on Monday. It's an incredible, incredible showcase. Teams from out of state are coming in. Crater Lake, Oregon. I think this is their third year. Love coming here. Why wouldn't they? It's going to be great weather, great baseball, great fields, great stadiums. So we're going to talk with Jason about the matchups. Some really tasty matchups, especially on Monday, on day one. So always look forward to talking to Coach Pappy. At the top of hour number two, I know basketball season, at least at the high school level, it's been finished for a couple weeks, but I promised to have Connor Amundson and his brother McKay on, and this is the week that works out. The last couple weekends, they've had basketball tryouts and all kinds of stuff. So both those kids, the brothers, are coming in. And you know Clovis North basketball, the great season that they had, winning the D1 championship over St. Joseph, who won first round of the open division in NorCal, lost in the second round. But, yeah, these two kids are basketball junkies. Their dad's the head coach. I mean, they grew up with the basketball in the crib. So they got a lot of personnel. Really looking forward to that. So Connor and McKay are coming on at the top of hour number two, a little after 11 o'clock. At the bottom of hour number two, Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC, joins me here at First String Sports. We're going to talk about Fresno State basketball, baseball. Amanda Scott's jersey got retired last night at Margie Wright Stadium. So that was cool. I mean, Amanda Scott is an absolute legend, a legend here in the Central Valley. So that was really neat to see. One of the questions that was raised by me, it's like, what took him so long? I mean, Amanda's been gone for a while. Was it 1998 was their national championship team? So anyway, long overdue. So lots of stuff to talk about with Fresno State. And Stephen Hicks knows the Bulldogs as well as anyone around the Valley. So what's going on with the athletic director, Terry Toomey? Parted ways with Fresno State. Talked last week about Justin Hudson leaving the program. And I just saw that Donovan Yap has transferred. He was going to be a pretty big focal point of the team next year if he would have stayed, but he's in the transfer portal. So what's the men's program going to look like next year? Hopefully we're going to be talking, I don't know, maybe in a month or so, you need to get a guy in place and talk about the new guy. All right, so that's going on for the next couple hours here in Central Valley Sports Report. Did I mention my name? Paul Medders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Medders, PaulMedors. And last night was a big night because we broadcasted our first high school baseball game of the season. I got to do play-by-play along with Mike Brink, who broadcasted games with Jose Gonzalez for the last 2 years. And we did Edison at Clovis West. And that was one of the only few games in town last night. So there was a pretty good crowd. It was a 6:05 start. And, yeah, as the night grew longer, more and more people showed up. It was feeder night, the program. So a lot of little shavers were on the field last night for the Clovis West Golden Eagles. Clovis West looked pretty good. Their pitching was very solid last night. They won 6-0. Edison falls to 5-4. I'm going to talk about them in a second, but that program is headed in the right direction. Jake Turley went 5 strong innings, struck out 9. Brody Santos threw the final 2 to complete the 4-hitter, threw a 4-hit shutout. And the game was a tidy hour and 48 minutes. Mike and I had a lot of stories to tell, and we didn't even get to half of them because the pitchers were throwing strikes. It was a clean game. There was only one error total, and that was in the first inning by Edison. So it was a pretty snappy game. But Tyler Patrick, the Fresno State signee, I'm sure he's going as a catcher. He's a hitter, and he's having a pretty darn good season. He's hitting over 400 so far. Last night he had a clutch 2-out, 2-strike, 2-run double for the first runs in the game in the bottom of the third. Then he led off the 5th inning with a towering home run to left field. I didn't think it was going to be gone right off the bat, but he got it up in the air and hit the wind a little bit and hit it in the trees. But left fielder was turned around. Was watching left field a little bit, and he didn't know where the ball was, and that's because it landed over the fence. So Tyler Patrick had a really good game last night. But I want to mention, too, Coach Brandon Simon, the job that he's doing at Edison. He took over the program this year. He's been a longtime coach at Clovis North, been the first base coach. He's a high-energy guy, man. He is all in as the Edison Tigers head coach. Absolutely all in. He's doing a fantastic job. Mike Brink had a really good conversation with him on Thursday night. Super excited about building the program. Kids are playing the game the right way. Taking a tons of AP classes, so they're getting it done in the classroom as well. Like I mentioned, they're 5-4. They're participating in the Fresno Easter Classic, but they're going to be a team to be reckoned with when CMAC play starts. So hats off to Coach Simon. We're going to get him on the show here in the next couple weeks. He's a high-energy guy. Really looking forward to having him on. All right, before we hit the break here, a little bit of football news. San Joaquin Memorial football coach Anthony Gostin stepped down. That was a surprise announcement I saw on social media. He's been the head coach for 20 years, 26 total. He's an alum of the school, has 3 Central Section titles. He's going to remain as the principal. I didn't know how the guy did it. He was a principal of the school and the head football coach. So he stepped down as head coach. He's going to remain as principal. So Anthony Gostin has stepped down as head coach, San Joaquin Memorial. And Rich Tooman, who was recently hired as the offensive coordinator, has now been announced to take over. Tooman was the head coach at Lemoore for the last couple years. They made the Central Section title. I think he's been the coach for 4 years, maybe 5. Last 2 years, had that crazy game in Central Valley Christian last year, the year before. They had a phenomenal team, and they won a Central Section title. So a little football news there. Before we hit the break, again, a lot of high school talk here. We're going to be talking to Coach Bill Fever after the break. But I want to mention one team that's participating in the Fresno Easter Classic, and that's Liberty Madera Baseball. They're the only undefeated team in the Central Section right now. They're 12-0. They're the defending D4 champs. And what I love about what Coach Kuhn is doing there is he's built the program to this level. He's like, man, I want to play the best of the best. I want to participate in a high-level tournament. And they're playing in the Easter Classic. Here's their matchups. So Monday at 1 o'clock, they're playing Redwood. Then they're playing Reedley High. On Tuesday, they're playing Pleasant Grove and then Edison on Wednesday. They might be playing another game. Who knows? They could go 4-0. They could go 4-0. But, yeah, Liberty Madera, I'm keeping an eye on them ever since they had that great team last year. And 12-0 this year. So those guys are absolutely rolling. All right, we're going to take a break here. More baseball talk with Fowler coach Bill Fever when the Central Valley Sports Report returns on 1430 ESPN. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Manners, live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side of Blackstone. All right, got a little introduction for high school sports. And high school baseball is in the air. Easter means Easter classics all up and down the central section. Now we have Fowler coach Bill Fever joins the show. His Redcats are currently 9-2 on the season. They're going to host the traditional Fowler Easter Classic next week. They actually have some games on Saturday, a four-day tournament. So, Coach Fever, thanks for joining us this morning. What's on the agenda for today? Are you checking out the field? Are you making sure the conditions are good? Or are you at home watching some basketball?
Well, hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. So far today, I just ran into the school to check things out and talk to you and do a couple of odds and ends, and then I'm going to head back home and relax for a day. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah, those are definitely nice. And I, if I remember right, we did this last year on a Saturday morning around the same time, and you're doing the same thing. So there's never a lack of things to do when you're hosting a tournament. There's all these little loose odds and ends, and you got to make sure the field's in the certain spot, and you're double checking the umpires and all that stuff that goes with running the tournament. So it continues next week. So I looked at the schedule here. You got 8 teams in the tournament. Starting at 10 o'clock, got Lemoore and Taft. After that, McLean and Dinuba, Fireball and Sanger. And at 7 o'clock, Central Valley Christian and the Fowler Redcats. That's the headlining game. I love Fowler baseball at night. It just has such a great ambience. So what are you looking forward to besides your game at Monday night?
Oh, it's just a great competitive tournament there. There are great coaches involved, and all those coaches in there are friends of mine, so it makes it special. It's just a great atmosphere. We brought on Sanger this year. I was talking to David Cuellar the other day, and he was just waiting for an opportunity to get in. He told me, and he just said, he's been to the last couple championship games, and in his words, it's electric, and that's why he wanted to be a part of it and bring them here, in which I was really excited to get a high level team like them in here. And again, that is, it's just an atmosphere. And, when you go throughout the tournament, if you get to that championship night, there'll be 1,000 people here. There'll be standing room only. It's just really a great atmosphere for the kids to play under.
And again, there's 8 teams in the tournament. And what I noticed, Bill, is the variety of teams that really stood out to me. You got rural schools, city schools, again, Lemoore, Taft, McLean, Dinuba, Fireball, Sanger, CVC, and obviously you guys. So is that how you like it? A nice mix, some teams that necessarily aren't going to play each other or maybe even see each other throughout the year?
Oh, yeah. I bottom line, I'm always trying to get the highest level teams in there that I can. If there's ever an opening, I'm looking to put somebody in there that can play, that's going to bring a quality team that plays the game the right way and respects the game and respects how we do things at this tournament. And those are the people we want involved. We just want a great atmosphere, and that's what these teams bring us. And like I say, the coaches in this thing, these guys are all friends of mine, so it makes it a lot of fun. And like I say, they coach the game the right way, and it's good baseball. It's really good baseball. That game, we got a tough one Monday night with CVC. Shane Marshall's doing a great job there. He's he coached with me here years back, and he's coaching there at CVC. He's done a great job. This might be his best team that he has. They had a tough week. They battled Kerman and Kingsburg, and those are two of the better teams in the valley. So we got our hands full Monday night, and it's going to be an exciting game.
And the history of the Fowler Easter Classic goes back a long way. Give us a little bit of history about the tournament, when it started, who started it, who was coaching back then. I know it's been a staple for a long time.
Oh yeah, that's a great story. It's always one I enjoy telling. I think we've talked about that in the past, but in case people haven't heard it, it's wild how it started. It started back when I was in high school, way back when. I guess I'll tell you. It's 1984. That tells you.
All right.
Getting pretty old here. But bottom line, 84, we went over to Atascadero to a tournament. And, you know, that's before social media and everybody knew who everybody was. So, you know, Atascadero sees a little school from the Valley and says, okay, we'll put them in our bracket. And as the way the tournament played out is the winner's bracket stayed in Atascadero, loser's bracket went to Morro Bay. Well, we opened up with Atascadero and beat them. And so now they're heading off to Morro Bay to finish up the tournament. And the next day we show up and we had to prep the field because I guess we were the home team now. And our coach, Gilbert Uriarte, wasn't real happy about that. He said, well, heck, we should have our own tournament. And so in 1985, our tournament began. So that's exactly how it went down. And it's been growing strong ever since. It's just, like I say, it's always an exciting tournament. You know, we throw a few extra wrinkles in there on the last night. We do a wheels competition. We have the catchers throwing competition. So just a few other things to bring a little excitement for the kids, and they seem to like that.
You still have the Home Run Derby, right?
We still do, yep. Home Run Derby, the wheels competition, the cannon competition. So those are fun events for the kids.
I don't remember the catchers competition and the wheels competition. Explain those a little bit more. Let's start with the catchers competition. Is it like pop time throwing to second base, or what does that look like?
Pop time throwing to second base, and it's basically the other aspect of it. It's not just glove to glove, but it's going to be glove to tag in the bag. So you got to make a good throw. You got to put it in the bag, and you got to have somebody down there receiving that's going to catch it and get the tag down. And then the wheels competition is just, you know, starting at home and run it all the way around back to home, and whoever does it the fastest, they're the winner of that competition. And we got, you know, one person from each team in each of those events.
And you have probably the entire teammates cheering them on, so that's probably what makes it such a cool deal.
Yep.
Is there one specific player?
They're down on the field. And
that's awesome. Is there one specific player, coach? Sorry, that you remember that just absolutely burned it? Like smoked everybody.
Well, I would have to say Tommy Goodwin was pretty quick.
So Tommy Goodwin ran that. Oh my gosh! Okay, that's wild.
Well, yeah, like you say, we got to see him way back in the day, and that was one fast individual for sure.
Oh, that's amazing! Yeah, Tommy's been on the show, and he's one of my favorites of all time, and now he's coaching first base for the Atlanta Braves this year. The last 2 years, he's been a roving instructor in the minor leagues, and so he's back where he should be, coaching first base, and you know, he's been able to see Acuna and Riley and Matt Olson, all those guys up close. So hats off to Tom Goodwin. But, Coach, I want to give some time, too, for you to talk about your own team. You guys are 9-2, like I mentioned in the opener. What are some strengths about your ball club this year, and who are some standouts?
Well, we're off to a pretty good start. We're 9-2. We had some big shoes to fill. We had a couple, you know, three seniors that really played well last year. You know, Peyton Garcia and Rod Haro and Chris Mendoza. Those guys all had big senior years for us. So we had to fill some holes and move some guys around and do some things. But we did have that group of guys that there's, you know, we had the four kids that started up as freshmen, Josh Haro, Bubba Smith, Jason Lopez, and Cade Monas. Those guys all were starting as freshmen. They're all juniors now, so they've logged a lot of time, and they're all doing really well. So, I mean, right now our pitching is doing pretty well. Our pitching is good. Josh Haro and Cade Monas have really stepped up this year. They didn't throw as much last year, but they've thrown some really big innings for us. And, you know, Bubba Smith's been throwing well for the last 3 years. So, and he had his best day up at Minarets the other day, best day of this season. He threw really, really well. It was a shootout. I mean, it was a pitcher's duel. I mean, we had Mason Medina just threw a gem for them. And we were down 1-0 going into the sixth before we finally got things rolling. But it was just both pitchers were lights out, and it was a tough game. And Matty Luna's been burning innings for us. You know, another guy that didn't pitch much for us last year. So we, you know, pitching has been doing a good job, and then, like I say, those same guys are all hitting, you know, and that group, all the guys I just mentioned there, they've all been swinging the bat really well for us. So that's been our strength, and we've been kicking it around defensively a little bit, but we're looking to improve, and our deal is just trying to improve every day and get a little better every day, and we want to be peaking at the end of May. So that's what the goal is, and so far I think we're heading on that path. We're, you know, cleaning up some things. I think we're getting better, and this tournament's going to be a good test for us, because, like I say, we got some tough games ahead of us, and I don't know if we can make it back to the championship game, because we stumbled in that first one, but we're going to just try to win three games, and whatever, wherever that leaves us, maybe with a little help we can get back to the championship game. But like I say, we got our hands full to get that far, but again, the guys are working hard, and we're getting better. That's the exciting part, and you know, I think there's going to be good things down the road for this group.
And Fowler's, obviously, their proud tradition with the baseball program, and Bill, you're alum of the school, and you've been coaching there for a long, long time. The Fowler Easter Classic is one of those things, one of those tournaments in the Central Valley that you could count on during Easter time. Again, Fowler Easter Classic, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The championship events are really cool. A home run derby, wheels championship, catcher's throwing challenge as well. So good stuff. Good stuff, Coach Fever. Always love catching up with you, and hope to make it down there early next week, and good luck the rest of the way.
Oh, that'd be great. Love to have you down here, and thanks again for having me on, and again, excited about this tournament. Can't wait to see who all's showing up out here. Like I say, it'll be a packed house, a lot of good things to eat, and some great baseball.
Absolutely. I should have mentioned the food. The food's always one of the great pluses of that tournament. So thanks, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you. Take care.
Take care as well. Jason Pappy, Fresno High baseball coach. He's coming on the show next. More Easter Classic stuff here on 1430 ESPN. Had a really good conversation with Phil Fever, the head coach at Fowler. Fowler Easter Classic's going on this coming week. They got a tough game. CVC is no joke. They got a really good squad, so they're playing Fowler at 7 o'clock. Tons of really good baseball next week. Easter means a lot of things to a lot of people, but around the Central Valley, if you're into high school athletics, it means baseball, tournaments. All you got to do is head to your local stadium, and then there's going to be lots of games played everywhere. You can watch baseball all day. We got Jason Pappy on the show, Fresno High baseball coach, heading up the Fresno Easter Classic, begins Monday. Recently inducted into the Hoover Hall of Fame. We're going to get into that. That is a cool story. I want to hear from Jason on that. So, Jason, thanks for coming on the show. I know you have one final getaway before the massive undertaking that is Monday, but you're in Santa Clara right now, just like last year. Describe exactly where you're at and what you're doing.
Yeah, so it just seems to always fall this weekend. My daughters are big dancers at Dance Studio Fresno, and every year they have a dance competition this weekend. Last year was actually San Jose right down the road. This year's Santa Clara. But, you know, I miss a lot of my daughter's events, so I make it a point to not miss. And so last night it was kind of hectic, kind of stressful. Worked on the Easter tournament basically all day and left last night, drove to Santa Clara. I'm here now. They'll be competing all day. They're in convention classes right now until about 11:30, and then they'll have lunch, go back for some more convention classes, and then the competition starts, and that'll run all night. And so then I'll wake up bright and early tomorrow, get back on the road, head home, and prepare some more, get ready for the big coaches' dinner tomorrow night, and excited and just looking forward to kicking off this 54th annual Easter Baseball Classic.
Well, that is great to hear. And, you know, I mean, the life of a head coach in any sport, you know, it can be a difficult one for you to take the time out to be with your family during this time. It is awesome, and I know your family would appreciate it. But I want to ask you this. You know, you're a girl dad. I'm a girl dad as well. I was 3 for 3 with girls. when you guys go out to eat, just help me out here. Growing up, my daughters, we go to nice, decent restaurants, I guess. They'd always order chicken strips and fries, right? They'd have opportunities to eat anything that they want, but they always go chicken strips and fries. Even to this day, they still do when we go out. They're 21, 19, and 17 years old. But do your girls, right, is that kind of what they're into still, the chicken strips and fries, or do they have a, you know, a different type of palate?
Yeah, no, you know what? That's so funny that you say that. My parents were just laughing because we recently went to La Cabada, a Mexican restaurant, to have dinner a few nights ago, and they got chicken strips and fries.
There you go.
So I'm driving right now. I'm picking up lunch, so it's ready for them when they get out of their classes. And today was Jersey Mike's, but it's legitimately turkey, cheese, and mayo. That's it.
Oh.
Make it as simple as you can. So, I agree. It's crazy. And when you have when you have a house full of girls, nobody wants to make a decision, but then when I make the decision,
it's wrong.
95% of the time, it was the wrong one.
So exactly.
I've learned just to go with the flow as much as I can and let them decide where we eat.
Well, we're not alone, Jason. That's good to know that that's pretty universal, that young girls still like the chicken strips and fries. Good stuff. All right, so let's talk a little baseball here. You mentioned the Classic starts Monday. Is there anything different from years past and this year? Is it pretty much just plug the teams in and work all that out and, you know, work with the coaches, with the stadiums and umpires and the baseballs and all that good stuff? But is anything different, or is mostly everything the same?
So the only thing that's different is just, everything gets more expensive each and every year. And, this tournament being 54 years old, it's one of the few around where, you know, when my dad and the founders of this tournament, who was Ron Schiller, my dad took it over a few years after. When they started it, they were really big on just making sure that this tournament was run first class. And we take care of everything. As you know, we'll have a steak dinner for all the coaches tomorrow evening. All of the baseballs are provided. We give coaches gifts. You know, we run this thing the right way, and that was something my dad was really big on. So it's gotten harder in recent years because, obviously, as you know, with the economy, everything's gotten more expensive. And, you know, the cost of baseballs, the cost of umpires, and it's become increasingly more difficult to get sponsors. And I'm very, very thankful for all the sponsors that you will see in the program, specifically Valleywide Beverage and American Ambulance. Those guys are godsends. Without them, this tournament doesn't happen. It's gigantic. I'll have 7 sites going on Monday, 7 sites going on Tuesday, 10 sites going on Wednesday, I think. 10 ones, 4 and 7s with all the fields, 64 games in 3 days. And that's what makes it so tough. A lot of the tournaments that you see preseason-wise, you know, they're extended over a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Where this one, we've got to cram everything into a 3-day period, possibly a 4th day on Thursday if there was a rain day. And that goes back to, I'm sitting in Santa Clara right now, and there's drops on my windshield as I'm driving, so I'm worried. I know I haven't even called my dad and said, hey, is it raining there yet? Because I know what the answer is probably going to be, because if it's not, it's definitely coming. So we're going to do a rain dance. We're going to make sure that rain comes in tonight, maybe early tomorrow, and gets the heck out of town so we can have one heck of a tournament and get all these games played. And, I'm just looking forward to a great, great tournament once again.
And it's certainly going to be. We look forward to it every single year. So, Jason, I think we're looking pretty good. So, obviously, it rained last night here in the Central Valley. It rained pretty hard. I woke up a few times in the middle of the night, and it was coming down pretty steadily. So, 6:30, at 6 o'clock, 35% chance. And then it's supposed to stop at 8. A little bit of rain tomorrow in the forecast, 65%. And then, according to my iPhone, Thursday it's supposed to start back up, 50% chance on Thursday. So looking good for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we'll definitely keep our fingers crossed on that one. I know that's always a big headache, and you're nervous about that as well. But it's looking pretty good right now. I don't want to jinx it though, but it looks like it's going
to
work out.
Knock on wood. Do a rain dance. Do whatever you have to do, buddy. Rain dance to keep the rain away.
We will. We will. You did a great job breaking down the history of the Fresno Easter Classic. How many schools in the first couple of years were involved, and how many total schools are coming this year?
So 32 teams this year. Okay. The first tournament ever had 8 teams. And we've grown up. The biggest we've ever had, I think, was 38. And we probably could make it bigger if I really – I mean, we got a lot of people that want in. But, you know, it's tough because, you know, we provide at every site. This is something that's also different from every other tournament out there. At every site that you go to, we provide the ticket takers. We provide the park supervisors, the announcers, the scorekeeper, the official score, the scoreboard operator. So the manpower that it takes to run this thing is second to none. And, you know, if we just keep growing, it's not like, you know, we allow, hey, the schools, you know, you're hosting your games, you provide your announcers, you provide your scoreboard operators, your ticket takers. That's all provided by the Fresno Easter Classic. When you got 5 Clovis sites going, Fresno City College and Madera, we've got to, you know, get bodies out to all of those facilities. So it makes it hard. Crazy stat, which is pretty cool, is that Fresno High and Hoover, now it was until this year, and I'm sad to say that Memorial is not in the 54th annual Easter Baseball Classic. There was 3 teams that had been involved in all 53 of them. Now it's down to 2, Fresno High and Hoover. So, you know, pretty, you know, coincidental that obviously Fresno High, the host school, and then my alma mater has been in it all 54 years. But that's a pretty cool stat and something that we're really proud of.
No, absolutely. I love that kind of stuff. And ironically, Coach Jones from Hoover was in at First String Sport. He comes in here like, I don't know if he does it on purpose, but comes in here in the mornings on Saturday. He's always got a glove that needs to be restrung, or you got to pick up some baseballs or some buckets and stuff, and we always have a good conversation. So Hoover and Fresno, the only 2 teams that have been in the Fresno Easter Classic since its beginning. That is really, really cool stuff. So one of the things, Jason, talk with Jason Pappy, head coach of Fresno High, that when I looked at the schedule, I always love looking at the schedule, obviously the 7 different sites. I want to mention that really quick. So John Euless Park, Buchanan, Clovis East, Clovis North, Clovis High, Clovis West, and Madera High School. Something that popped, a game that popped out to me, I think you know where I'm going with this. On Monday night at Clovis High, we got at 7 o'clock, Bullard and Clovis, 2 of the top teams in the Central Section. I know that some people might disagree with that, but that's what I say. So tasty matchup in the first round there. Is that something that Tom and JD wanted, or do you guys like, all right, let's just throw those 2 teams in there early?
Yeah, so we try to create great matchups. It's scheduling for this thing, when you're trying to get 64 games done in a matter of 3 days, and we make sure that nobody that played each other last year or nobody in the same league plays each other, it's scheduling can be a nightmare. You know, we try to create great matchups because that's what teams want. The out-of-town teams that come in, you know, they want to play good baseball because they know what a hotbed the Central Valley is and the Central Section in general. And that matchup is one that, you know, when our scheduling committee got together, they thought it'd be great because those are 2 teams that are going to be top-ranked teams in this section. And it could have some playoff implications.
Sure.
And so I know that Coach Sales, I talked to him earlier this week, I know that that's something that he's looking at, and as they should, and I guarantee Coach Donald's looking at it the same way. So I would bet that you'll see both of those guys' best arms throwing that evening. I think Coach Sales told me that Caston was going to be going that night. So it should be, you know, that'll be a great matchup. There'll be a big crowd out there. And, you know, it's just 2 area teams that play baseball the right way. The Central Section this year is you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of equity up and down the section. I mean, we just got out of that Central tournament. And, you know, we played Frontier and, you know, Bakersfield Christian. I've seen a lot of these Bakersfield schools, and the baseball in the Bakersfield area right now is really, really, really good. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I think this is year 21 for me at Fresno High, and I would honestly say that you know, Bakersfield right now probably has the upper hand. In terms of strength of area schools. They're really good right now. The Central Tournament, the championship was between Bakersfield Christian and Stockdale. Frontier's 11-1. Bakersfield Christian is really, really good. I think Frontier is ranked, you know, in Max Preps rankings, you know, in the top 2 or 3. Bakersfield Christian's ranked in the state. And that's not to downplay any of the baseball that's in our area, because we know how good that is. But Bakersfield's going through a really, really good cycle right now of good baseball teams. And the crazy thing about that area right now is it's not just one or two teams that are good. They're all good. Liberty High is good. Frontier's High is good. Centennial, as you know, the reigning Central Section champs.
Yeah.
Stockdale, Bakersfield, Christian, Garces. I can keep naming them. Like they're all strong, and that league is going to be an absolute dogfight. I saw that Frontier on Thursday, I think, beat Stockdale, which was, in all honesty, I mean, we played Frontier and we played them tough. Ended up losing 5-1, but we were 2-1 with them. Frontier's really good, but I've heard that Stockdale, especially when their guys on the mound, is really strong. And I was really surprised to see that Frontier beat them. So I'm excited. This tournament has a lot of playoff implications, and so matchups like that just kind of help the seeding committee because now you have a head-to-head to go off of.
Absolutely correct with all that assessment, Jason. Yeah, the Bakersfield schools are coming to play, and we know what the shock heard around the state last year when Centennial beat Buchanan in that wild game where they hit a 3-run home run. So yeah, Bakersfield baseball is definitely up and up. And I'm glad you mentioned Liberty Madera. I mentioned them in my opener. They're 12-0, man. And Division IV team, I think they're base D5, so they can go up to Division IV. But they're ready to take on everybody this year. And then Kerman. Kerman's got a really good ball club as well, so looking forward to that. Got about 5 or 6 minutes here, Coach. Love talking to you about high school baseball. You're doing a fantastic job. Again, the Fresno Easter Classic starts on Monday. I want to give you a chance to talk about your team. You're playing Fresno City College at 1 o'clock. You're taking on Hanford West and then Placer at 7 o'clock. Tell me a little bit about your ball club.
So we're really young this year. We're going into the year. Last year we started 7 seniors, and out of those 7 seniors in that, I think we finished 21-7. That group of guys, there was a lot of 3- and even 4-year starters. We had a lot of experience. This year is just the opposite. You know, we got multiple freshmen on the varsity team, a lot of guys that did not have a lot of varsity experience. And I've been so proud of our guys and how they've answered the bell and how they've competed through our first 11 games. We're currently 7-4, have played a very tough schedule, have played some good teams, and we've played good teams tough. We went through some growing pains. If you look at some of those scores, for example, you know, the Clovis East game, we had beat them in a scrimmage the previous week. We came out and we gave up 7 or 8 runs in the first inning, and the final score was 7 or 8-0. You know, we played well the rest of the game. We took a 1-0 lead against Central into the bottom of the fifth inning, and they scored 5 runs with 2 outs in that game. And so we've had those innings where we've kind of imploded, and that's due to the youth and inexperience. In the Pomo game a week ago, we took an 8-4 lead into the bottom of the seventh, and they walked us off with 5 runs in the bottom of the seventh to beat us 9-8. But on the flip side, we've also played some really good baseball, beat a good Mission Oak team, a very good Tehachapi team. There's a reason why those two teams came into the Central Classic this year, because they're really good and very competitive. And like I said previously, Frontier, we were 2-1 with Frontier into the bottom of the fifth and ended up losing 6-1. So we're getting battle tested. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we have a motto in our program. It's a very simple motto, but we live by it. And it's better every day, and our guys got to be getting better. And we say that, but it's not just a saying. It's something that we truly do every practice. Everything we do is about just, you know, we got to improve. We got to get a little better at whatever we're struggling with, and our guys buy into that. And so I'm so proud of this young group as they mature and they're coming into their own and they're just getting better. And I look forward to the remaining games on our schedule. I told them, hey, listen, you're not gonna be remembered by the first 10 games of your season. You're gonna be remembered by the last 18. So you know, this back stretch of games with 4 in the Easter Classic, with the league schedule and going into the playoffs, that's what people remember. You know, whether you're 12-0 right now, like Liberty Madera is, or 11-1 like Frontier, or you're 1-11 or 0-12, people are going to remember what you do at the back half of the year. And so for a lot of teams, this tournament gets teams going because of the strength of schedule, because of the competition. It's one of those teams that can catapult a team into playing some really good baseball at the back end of the year.
Absolutely right. And coach, you're coming in with the two-game win streak. You beat McLean 14-0 and 3-1. You have a nice win against Madera as well. Your team's always competitive, coach, and you're definitely one of the best coaches in the Central Section. You're one of the best players for Hoover High's history as well. I got to mention this. We got a couple minutes here, coach, and you're inducted into the Hoover Baseball Hall of Fame a few weeks ago. Just talk about what that meant to you. I'm sure you ran into a bunch of friends and people you haven't seen for a while, but just talk about what that meant to you.
Yeah, that was so special. I thank Coach Jones and that Hoover Baseball Selection Committee for choosing me and my good friend and teammate on that 96 team, Rob Avila. It was so special to have my family there, friends there, people that have supported. You know, it's kind of a crazy thing, and a lot of people don't realize. I mean, they don't. You played at Fresno High. I did play at Fresno High. My dad was huge on me and my sister going to our home schools. And, you know, my sister was a four-year varsity player at Hoover as a softball player. I went on and played 4 years of softball at Fresno State. And I did the same thing in baseball. I ended up playing at Fresno State and then coaching there for a few years. And when I went to Hoover, it was rough. And the reason it was rough is because, you know, at that time, Fresno High and Hoover, we were in the same league. And so in high school, my dad never got to see me play. And that's hard. You know, I started this conversation about, you know, being there and watching my daughters. When I was playing a high school game, my dad was coaching a high school game. And that was something that as a family, you know, we just knew. But it was important to my dad that I went to my neighborhood school with my friends and competed with them. And, you know, that 96 year, we were really good. And I remember Fresno High having to play against my dad and hearing my dad when I'm in the box rooting against his own son. And that's just, I guess, the competitiveness of our family. And I knew deep down inside he always wanted to succeed. But, you know, he was a Fresno High baseball coach, and we're playing a league game. And that year in 96, Fresno High was tremendous. But just going into that Hoover Hall of Fame, man, I had some of the best 4 years of my life. I mean, great friends created. I had great coaches. Coach Nischke and Coach Weaver at the varsity level helped me in so many ways. And it was the best decision for me. It got me away from my dad. And like I said, my dad never coached me. He coached me in the city-county game my senior year. And that was it. He pushed me, but he would only work with me if I asked him. And that was special because I was able to come home and use my dad and all of his wealth of knowledge as a support system and not as my coach. I had other coaches that obviously were my baseball coaches. And so to be able to be inducted into that Hoover Baseball Hall of Fame after 4 great years there, it was special and something I'll always cherish. And I truly thank Coach Jones and that committee for choosing me to be a part of that special group.
Well, great stuff, Jason, as always. And the last name, Pappy, goes a long way in the central section, up and down the state and nationally as well. So thanks for coming on the show. Always appreciate talking with you and getting that family time before the big Fresno Easter Classic that you head up. I know it's a labor of love, but everybody appreciates you greatly. So thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll be able to see you next week, my friend.
Awesome, Paul. Thank you so much. And I just want to tell you, you know, and what you guys do is so appreciated, how you guys promote high school athletics in this area. You know, it means so much. And just, you know, the radio games, you know, like last night, and that is huge for our kids. And so I want to thank you for what you do. And like I told you previously via text, hopefully if you're not busy tomorrow, you are invited to that coach's dinner. I'd love to recognize you and announce your name up there, and because it's truly appreciated everything you do. So thank you. Looking forward to a good 3 days of baseball and this 54th annual Easter Baseball Classic.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that greatly. All right, Jason, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a small break and come back with Evanston Brothers. Connor and McKay are here at First String Sports. So looking forward to talking to them and the great season that they had on their hardwood. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Hour number two. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. if you are tuning in to hopefully catch some March Madness games. We're going to be bringing those to you in an hour. So we've got an hour left, and you're not going to want to turn the dial, that's for sure, because we got a couple Valley champions, Central Section champions in the house, Connor Admonson and his brother McKay Admonson, Clovis North. We know that phenomenal game that they played against St. Joseph, a 69-60 win at Selland Arena. We're going to get into that game because a lot of people might forget they were actually the one seed. A lot of talk about St. Joseph, right? They were the three seed. Clovis North was the one seed. So, yeah, they're nodding their heads. Yeah, we remember that, right? They were the one seed. So they definitely took care of business this year. Obviously, their dad, Tony, is a head coach. Connor's headed to Dartmouth. We're going to get into a lot of cool stuff. So, first of all, thank you, boys, for coming in. I know we've tried the last couple weeks to line all this up, but today was a perfect storm for you guys to come in. So, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, March Madness is in the air, right? Is March your favorite month of the year, or maybe December, right, when you guys got some tournaments? What do you think, Connor? Is March your favorite?
It's definitely up there. It's one of the top ones. A lot of fun games to watch and stuff. I like December too. Great time. February, early March, best time.
Yeah. You agree, McKay?
Yeah, I agree with that too. Late December going into January when we go like mission prep, Damien, and then obviously March, all the games and stuff is fun too.
All right, so full disclosure, I said this on air, right? I'm a teacher. I teach fifth grade. So I did have my students. I turned it into a math lesson. I had them fill out brackets. They did it online. We might have had to lie about their age because you got to be like 18 or something. Yep. So anyway, all good. Turned it into a math lesson. So we may have checked some scores throughout the day, right? So that's cool. How about at Clovis North? Like, were you guys able to check your – I don't want to out, you know, anybody. I don't want to get in trouble.
No.
But were you guys able to check some stuff, or maybe you had a cool teacher that allowed you to watch?
Yesterday we had, like, we weren't really doing much in class, and pretty much all of our teachers were watching games. At least all of my teachers were watching games.
Same. You're a senior, right?
Yeah,
so you guys are one foot out the door already.
Yeah, I have some classes. I got the split screen up with four games going at once. So I've definitely been watching all those.
Awesome. I love it. Our tax dollars hard at work, that's for sure. All right, so we're going to get into your season in just a minute here. But what's going on summer-wise with you guys? Summer basketball, you already got some teams you're lining up playing with, Connor?
No, I'm not. I'm not playing.
You can't, right?
Yeah, I'm not playing summer, but I've been working out with, like, his team and stuff because he has some post-grad guys on the team he's playing with. But you can talk about the team.
Yeah, so I'm playing for Lake Show right now, and we got Coach Amundson, so my dad, and Coach Jones coaching that team again. Last year we played with West Coast Elite and did the same group of guys, and now we're just doing it under Lake Show, so same team but under Lake Show now. So.
Why is that, Lake Show?
It just kind of worked out that way, you know.
Well, and it's Adidas Gold.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So that's why they switched over to that.
Okay, so you're practicing what? How many times a week? And then what's the summer? What's the schedule look like?
So for the Lake Show team, we're doing we're going today. Actually, we have a practice every Saturday. So
and that's out in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
And then like summer, where's some big tournaments you guys are playing on that you know about?
I know we're going to Vegas, and then we're for sure going to South Carolina for one tournament for like a Adidas Gold qualifier. And then, so those are like the two that we know for sure right now. And then there's like an LA qualifier one. And then, obviously once we get to school basketball for the summer, then we're going to like the really big ones.
Got it. How you guys feeling physically? Right, like you guys needed a couple weeks to let your body rest a bit and get fully healthy. Like, are you guys, like, I mean, how do you feel physically?
I mean, I feel pretty good. I ended up kind of going right after the Reardon game straight to the gym the next day. Like, just after a game like that, you kind of feel motivated, like, gotta keep working and stuff. So I think a lot of our guys on our team kind of felt that way. So a lot of guys I know kind of got right back in the gym and stuff, just getting ready for next year of college or whatever the next step is for everyone.
McKay, how do you feel?
I'm feeling great, and right after it was kind of the same thing, right to the gym, and then just got to keep working because we're losing some key guys next year, and we got to make sure that we're all keyed in for next year.
And I tell you what, you know, obviously I've watched you guys grow up sometimes from afar, and then obviously on the basketball court through social media, and you guys are in phenomenal shape. Some of those, you know, you're running with your dad, you know, in the morning. And so you guys definitely, you know, are built for this, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, the physical part of basketball can be difficult, right? Obviously, football and basketball is different, right? Football, you're hitting somebody, you got pads on, but basketball can be physical, and you guys played a really, really physical schedule as well. I want to definitely talk about that championship game against St. Joe's, but I want to ask you guys about the schedule, because a lot was made about the schedule you guys put together. Obviously, your dad and Coach Jones knew, and Drew Crisp as well, knew that you guys were going to have a special team this year, and battle-tested is one of the words, right? It's one of those popular phrases you can use. You guys were battle-tested going to that game against St. Joe's and playing peak basketball at that time. But how did, Connor, you think the schedule before playing Sierra Canyon, playing Damien, playing some of those top teams, what, St. Joan Bosco as well, right?
Yeah.
So playing those schools prepared you for that late season run.
Yeah, I think it definitely did. So we opened, obviously, with Sierra Canyon. And then after that, it didn't get any easier. We played Salesian, who ended up in the state championship, and went down to the wire with Harvard Westlake. St. John Bosco, Windward, another top 15 team. Let's see.
Who else was there? Do you remember any off the top of the head?
Trying to think. You named a lot of them. I know that.
Well, obviously, Salesian and Bosco. I mean, Sierra Canyon, that's all you got to say.
Yeah.
Those are top 10 teams in the entire state. But they definitely prepared you for the season. Like, McKay, like, going against – you know, a bunch of Division I dudes, the guys that can jump out of the gym, guys that got long arms and height and length and all that stuff. How do you think playing against those types of teams prepared you for maybe even that St. Joe's game in the first round of the state playoffs?
Oh, it definitely prepared us for sure. Like, we those teams, just playing against those teams and being exposed to that length and athleticism, it just makes everything so much easier when you're used to it. And it's not like a shock when you go out and play against a team like St. Joe's. Because we're used to it.
All right, let's talk about that game. A big hype surrounding that game, especially, you know, you guys were probably sick of it here in St. Joe's this, St. Joe's that. Hey, St. Joe's is now number 6 in the state. You know, Toon Day, one of the top players in the state. Julius Price, their point guard. Probably sick of hearing about those guys because you guys were the number 1 ranked team. And let's be honest, a lot of people thought, even though you guys were number 1 ranked team, St. Joe's was the favorite in that one. I'm sure you guys took that personally. You're like, hey, we got a squad over here. Don't forget about us. And you guys definitely took care of business. I've gone on record. I said during the broadcast as well, that was as perfectly executed a basketball game as I've seen in a long time. So let's talk Connor first. You know, your senior year, you missed last year with an injury. So you probably had that game in mind for a while, for a couple years. So what was your mindset going into that basketball game?
Pretty much just execute the game plan, run the team and stuff, and do whatever I got to do to help us get the win. Definitely been a goal of mine to get that section championship for a long time. And I knew it'd be hard against St. Joe's, super talented, with Toon Day and Julius, and then they have some good role players around them too. So I knew it'd be a tough one for us, but I felt like we executed the game plan well, and yeah, I got the job done.
You absolutely did. You definitely played one of the best games. Obviously, you've had a lot of games where you score more points, but as far as efficiency and taking care of the basketball and making all the right reads, you were phenomenal in that game.
Thank you.
McKay, yeah, you bet. McKay, you know, coming in as a sophomore in that big, big arena. Obviously, your first time there, right? Playing in, Sierra Canyon, right?
Yeah.
Sierra Canyon, but no, that was at Save Mart Center,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Save Mart. That was our first time at Save Mart.
First time at Save Mart. Okay. So going into that game, what were you thinking?
I knew that it was going to be tough to, like, get to the hoop and score on the length of, like, Abdul and Toon Day and all those huge guys in there. So I was more so thinking just set up my team, run the offense, and make sure that we get a good shot every time down the court. And that's how we were going to win that game. And then, obviously, our defense was spot on that whole game. And I think that's what really, like, did it for us and helped us win that game.
Absolutely. We're talking with Connor and McKay Admonson. So, Connor, defensively, I'm glad you mentioned that, McKay. Toon Day fouled out, I think, with about 6 minutes left, maybe 5 minutes left, four?
Yeah, I think it was like three and a half, four. I think.
So he fouled out, got a couple offensive charges. Jordan Espinoza played incredible defense on him. You guys rotated some guys. Defensively, I mean, let's be honest. You guys are, you know, undersized, undermatched, so to speak, in certain ways. But defensively, talk about the cohesiveness that you guys displayed out there, getting to certain points, making reads defensively, rotating, helping?
Yeah, I think we did a great job with that. I mean, we've worked on it all year, coaches directed and show and everything that we do in practice. And our little 5-on-4 defensive game. And then the coaches put in a new defensive concept for that game to help with Tunde. And I felt like we did a great job with that, making it hard for him everywhere. And then we took big charges. McKay took a charge on Tunde. I took a charge on Tunde. So that kind of helped get him in some foul trouble. I think he got it over the back maybe too with us boxing him out. So that helped get him in the foul trouble. And then it ended up getting him out with a couple minutes left. And so that was big, obviously. I just think we did a great job on defense, for sure. McKay was everywhere, all scrappy. He got like 5 steals in there. So I thought he did a great job defensively, along with Jordan, too. And everyone really played great defense.
Everyone, absolutely. I want to ask about, was there a point in that game where you said, okay, I think we got it? Was there a certain play? Obviously, you know, your coach's son, so you want to say until that, you know, buzzer sounds, it's not a victory, but was there a certain play like, oh my gosh, guys, I think we're going to do it?
I started to feel it a little once we got that lead up to like 8 with a couple minutes left, and I was like, okay, like if we just handle business now, make free throws, like job will be finished. So about that time, I started to feel it a little. I was trying to stay calm and
keep
it down and just focus on finishing it. But I definitely started to feel it with a couple minutes left, and the excitement was building up.
And you're allowed to do that. I absolutely give you that. So, McKay, what about for you? Was there maybe even, you know, a specific player, like maybe when somebody hit a free throw, like, okay, we got this lead?
Yeah, I remember, I think it might have been Lucas shooting free throws, and I just, like, I remember looking over at Connor, and I was just like, oh my gosh.
It's happening.
We're about to win this right now. Let's go. Let's play some defense right now. And I think we got this.
And finished it out. I think you guys went 19 of 22 from the free throw line for that game. So that's – when you got shooters, man, that's definitely a great advantage. And the locker room celebration was pretty darn awesome. So just a little bit about that locker room celebration. I heard McKay, too, you stood up and you gave some props to some of the role players. There's a key part in that third quarter where some guys came off the bench and provided a spark and gave some energy. And I heard that you were able to praise them for that as well. So what was the locker room celebration?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, everyone was super excited. So once we got in there, my dad, coach, he was still getting interviewed outside, and everyone kind of planned, dumped the water on him. And so he kind of caught on to it because everyone was kind of waiting for him to get in there. And then he was trying to not – he was like saying to me, oh, like they said, we can't do that. They said they said not to do it. It's going to ruin the floor. So I kind of had to drag him in a little. I kind of just pulled him in, and then they dumped it. But it was super exciting. Everyone went crazy in there. It was fun. It was fun stuff.
McKay, how about for you? What was cool about that moment?
Yeah, just after we poured the water on him, he was obviously getting over the fact that he was freezing. He walked in there. He was shaking and stuff. And out of nowhere, he just starts jumping up and down, getting all hyped up, and that's when everybody just started going crazy, and it was just super fun.
Well, you know, even with March Madness, right, and college basketball in general, when, you know, a coach is obviously celebrating inside, but you got to shake the hand of the other coach. You got to look professional. You got to look like a cool guy, right? But then once the locker room hits, you see coaches absolutely celebrate, and it's much as we see that in March Madness all the time. I want to talk, Connor and McKay, about what made this team special, right? So, you know, you guys did it. You had a goal and you did it. What are some lasting memories, Connor, that you're going to have about maybe even your whole time at Clovis North, but about this season in particular?
Yeah, definitely just like the camaraderie that we had. I've played with a lot of these guys and known a lot of these guys for a long time. So it was really a brotherhood. Everyone was super close, hanging out on and off the court. All the trips, everyone was together, really. It wasn't like there wasn't really separate groups and stuff. Everyone was kind of cool with each other. It just felt like a family, a lot of good times. Had the goals of league, section, and state. Got 2 of the 3, and then got a good win in state, too. So definitely a lot of good memories that I'll keep forever.
How about you, McKay? What's I mean, you're a sophomore, so you're playing up, and obviously – you know, played with your brother for all these years as well. But what are some great moments, special moments for you?
Yeah, honestly, it's somewhat of the same. Just the fact that we were such a tight-knit group, everybody got along with each other. This was probably the, like, I've played with these guys since I was a little kid. Since second grade, I've been playing with these guys, and it just was always great to go out there and play with them and, you know, have a good time with them. And we were all just super close, and it made playing with them even better.
Yeah. All right, so being with them super close, I gotta get the backstory behind this. So both of you played varsity since your freshman year. McKay, you were on varsity last year. True story, you shaved your head for some money.
I did.
On the road. Walk us through that.
So we were at the Classic at Damien, and on the first night, I believe it was the first night, one of our teammates sends a text into our little group chat, and he says, "Everybody come to such and such room, and we're gonna shave McKay's head for it was supposed to be $200, but I ended up getting about like 80. Not everybody paid up, but it's all right.
But so what they did? I mean, they sit you in a little chair. Did they bring out the clippers? What did that look like?
Yeah, so we ended up using like an electric, like a tiny electric razor, and I was in the bathtub. And they were just shaving my head while standing up. And then the razor actually died midway through, and we had to DoorDash another razor in the middle of the night to finish it.
Because you had a patch.
Oh, I had patches, like, all over. It was pretty bad.
I think you mentioned guys didn't pay up, right? But I think guys should have pitched in more for you to keep it like that for that next
patch.
Morning. Go, keep the patch.
Yeah, we were worried that he was going to have to if we couldn't get a razor.
You literally DoorDashed at what time? Like 1 in the morning?
It was like 12 because we didn't play until like 4 p.m. the next day.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So we were up kind of late that night.
What was the reaction of Coach Admonson and maybe Mom Admonson?
They were shocked.
Coach loved it. He thought it was hilarious. My mom, on the other hand, she was pretty shocked, But
you got $80 in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Could have had up to $200.
Yeah.
All right, $80. All right. That's awesome. So I want to talk about growing up Admonson, and obviously your family's name goes a long way up and down Central Section and, you know, state and nationally for basketball. But are there some funny stories that you guys have growing up playing against each other? I'm sure you guys – made each other cry, or you throw a basketball after being fouled really hard at each other and go running into the house. Connor, you're kind of laughing, like McKay, right?
Yeah,
it's usually the older brother that gets the best of the younger, right?
Yeah, for sure. Especially when we were little and stuff. I always had the size on him and everything. So it was hard for him a little bit. We'd play a ton every day. We'd be in the front yard. We spray painted a basketball court, like all the lines, like a little half court in our front yard. So we've had some battles out there for sure. Sometimes ended in fist fights or, you know, just going at it and stuff. It was all love after, though. You know, just a couple heated moments and then back to playing again.
Is that true, McKay? All love afterwards, or you?
Yeah, no, it all ended up being good afterwards. But in the heat of the moment, it was definitely pretty serious.
Yeah, right. All brothers have stories like that. I'm sure your dad has got stories with his brothers, right? Knock down, drag out fights, throwing the ball. How about like in the cold? You guys go out there when the ball is like almost solid ice block.
Yeah.
You get hit in the nose with the ball.
Oh, that hurts, yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah, we've been out there when it's freezing and the pouring rain. My mom has a video of us out there playing one-on-one when it's pouring outside. Yeah, we definitely have been out there in all conditions and everything. Yeah,
McKay, do you remember the first time you maybe scored against Connor?
I don't know.
Did he? Maybe
first
he let
time
you.
I
maybe
scored,
he let you.
But I probably the first time I beat him, which he probably let me do that because it was a long time ago, and I was
when he was little, I had to let him get a couple every once in a while so he wouldn't get too down or anything.
All right, good call because you ended up being Valley champions, right? Central Section champions, so it all worked out.
Yes, sir.
Who's the best? All right, out of all the Admonsons, uncles, right? Cousins. Like, who are you afraid of to play in a game? I shouldn't say afraid, but who brings the biggest challenge out in, a game of horse?
Oh, probably. I would have to say my dad. Probably.
Yeah,
he doesn't really miss too often. He'll He'll come out after not shooting a basketball for 2 months and go 90 for 100 from the top of the key on the shooting machine. Like,
okay.
He's just, yeah, I don't know how he does that. But, yeah, something, it's like a computer. It's just great form, just hits it, like, every time. So I'd probably say him. I don't think I've ever beat him in horse or anything.
Never beat him?
Yeah, nah.
The old lefty.
Yeah, he usually gets the best of us in the shooting games.
Yeah, McKay, you've seen that, too? You've seen Pops still light it up?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how about Tim?
Yeah, no,
right?
So funny. Yeah, he could shoot it, too. We
and Ty.
Yeah, jeez. On Easter a few years ago, we played at the Cage, Selma Lane Park. It was me, my dad, McKay, and my Uncle Tim playing fours against, like, random people
out
there.
Oh, my gosh. You guys run the court?
yeah, we ran the court. and I think in one stretch, my Uncle Tim hit, like, 7 threes in a row or something. Like, it was funny because he was just, like – just slowly jogging around, just catch, boom. He just kept hitting them. So, it was, yeah, he could definitely shoot it, too. I don't think I've played him in horse before, so I haven't seen that head-to-head, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, family basketball games with the Edmontons, man. You got to get that on film because I'm sure that's really good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you guys have an earliest memory playing basketball or dribbling a basketball?
I only think of stuff like through videos, I feel like, that I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really remember it, but after seeing the videos, like, I could think of that from that perspective. So I've seen videos when I'm super little, me and McKay playing on a little tyke hoop with my dad and stuff, like when we're, like, first just barely walking and stuff.
You got memories of that too, McKay?
Yeah. It's kind of what he said, like, just seeing pictures and videos of it. That's kind of, like, what I remember. Obviously, I wouldn't, like, actually remember it, but.
Would you guys get in trouble? Would you guys dribble the basketball at, like, lunch and dinner? Like, one of those kind of guys, right?
We've always had pretty good flooring. Like, the it's kind of hard. Like, it wasn't carpet everywhere. So, like, we'd be dribbling in the kitchen and stuff. Still do.
Yeah.
We have some, like, indoor basketballs in our house that we'll just dribble around.
How about Nerf hoops?
Oh, yeah.
You guys got some of those?
Yeah, we had those pro mini hoops and stuff that we used to battle on that. We'd play on that for hours.
So Connor, you were on the show when you were a sophomore with Dad, and there was one really, really funny moment that I'm going to bring up right now. So you mentioned tape, right? You had tape of when you guys played basketball when you were young. So back growing up, right, in our era, we'd go to a place called Blockbuster, and we'd rent videos, and then we'd come back, and we'd put the tape into something and watch the video. Do you remember what that device is, what that something is? What's it called?
It's not like
I'm testing you because 2 years ago, you didn't know what it was. It's an acronym. So there's three letters.
Is it start with a D?
No.
Or V?
No.
I thought it was like
V. Yeah, it starts with a V.
VHS?
VHS tape.
VHS tape,
yeah.
A VCR. That's what you're playing. So the DVD player, you didn't know what a VCR was. And we're like, yeah, you're like, what's that thing called that you put that tape in?
I remember that.
So
yeah,
we were just
funny.
Blown away by that. So, yeah. So, okay. So 2 years later, you got the V, right?
I got the V.
All right. Good stuff. All right. I want to ask you guys a couple more basketball things, and we can get into what the future looks like. Who's faster with the basketball? Let's be honest here.
So this is close. I feel like in games – sometimes I feel like I might hit a higher top speed, but he won every single sprint in practice all year. Like, we run these 17, sideline to sideline, 17 times in a minute, and he'll get, like, 19 when everyone else is getting 17. So he's definitely – it would definitely be close. I don't know. It's probably close, about even, I would say. But he usually gets me in these sprints and stuff. He gets going pretty fast.
How about with the basketball, though, Connor? McKay?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it is pretty close between the two of us. It would be like if we were to race, it would be neck and neck the whole time for sure with the basketball.
Yeah.
All right. How about video games? Who's better?
That's what I heard. If you say like sports,
the young
video
guy.
Sports video games, he's probably better than me. But any other game, I'd be better than.
And McKay's
that.
Good at all like the Call of Duty, Fortnite, that type of stuff. I'm good at like 2K, Madden.
Got it. Okay. All right. Good stuff. Favorite NBA players or college players? We'll start with you, McKay.
Oh, my favorite college player right now is Rob Dillingham. I like Rob Dillingham a lot.
Yeah.
And then NBA player, like someone that I could relate my game to would be like, obviously like Steph or Kyrie, but like my favorite NBA player is LeBron.
So, LeBron?
Yeah, I like
okay.
LeBron.
All right.
I've always been a big LeBron guy. I got all the jerseys and all that stuff, posters, ever since I was little. So I've kind of followed him team to team. So I've been a LeBron guy. And then college-wise, this year, I do like Rob Dillingham. He's fun to watch, super shifty. Let's see. Yeah, I'd probably say Rob, too.
Is there a specific team you guys are rooting for in March Madness?
Well, for my bracket, I have North Carolina winning, but
all right.
I wanted Kentucky to do good, but
that was bad.
You can't beat Oakland. D2 transfer comes in and lights them up with 10 threes,
yeah,
right?
That's crazy.
A bunch of blue bloods, four and five star guys. Connor,
I got UConn winning it.
All right,
and then,
standard
but
pick.
I'm rooting for Texas A&M. I got them in my Final Four.
Okay.
So I got them going Cinderella. And then Oregon, I have Elite Eight. So I'm rooting for those two teams specifically.
All right, the 11-seed Oregon Ducks. Yep. What about Yale?
Yale, yeah, that was big.
How cool is that?
That surprised me a lot. That was a great win for them.
I only got to watch the end of that game. I didn't watch the whole thing. But, yeah, gosh. All right, Ivy League. So that's a pretty good segue, Connor, to your college choice. So, I mean, it's awesome. It's great. So you've worked extremely hard for this. You're a very goal-oriented young man, as is McKay. So talk about the decision that you made to go to Dartmouth and what that journey.
Yeah, so I had a great visit there. Really liked all the coaches a lot and all the players there and stuff. Great facilities and campus and everything. And just really felt like it was home. They put together a cool video, like, showing how I would fit in, like, showing clips from their team and then clips of me, like, doing the same thing in my games. So I thought that was cool. And it just felt like they really wanted me. And, yeah, they were recruiting me really hard and stuff. So I just felt like it was a good spot for me.
And that education goes a long way as
well.
Yeah,
for sure. That's definitely a bonus over there.
That's great. So, yeah that's awesome. So what does that look like? So you said they put – like they superimposed you, or they said, yeah, Connor, we see you doing this. What did that video look like?
So it was like a slideshow, and it showed, like, so like one slide would say, like, this is like one thing that they do, like, say, coming off ball screens, pull up threes. And then it would show like five clips of like players on their team doing that. And then they got footage from my games and put clips of me doing the same thing with our team. So, like, yeah.
And how can you say no to that?
Yeah, no,
right?
That was pretty cool to me. I liked that a lot.
And did you meet some of the guys? Did they give you a little
tour?
Or?
Yeah, I hung out with their guys for a while. Went out with them, like, a couple of nights and hung out and stuff. So they were all really cool. Liked them all a lot.
So when are you planning on going? What's the move-in date and all that look like?
So it's not to – because Ivy League doesn't do summer workouts. You go back home for summer. So I don't go until early September. So I have all summer here.
How is mom and dad handling being on the the other coast?
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to miss me a lot. They'll probably come visit whenever they could and stuff, holidays and stuff. But they're handling it good. It'll be fun. They have all the ESPN Plus stuff set up so that they can watch all the games. And
absolutely.
Everything.
You're going to be watching those games for sure. So, McKay, you still got a couple years left. College is absolutely a goal for you. So what would be some of the types of colleges that you would want to play for?
Anywhere that, like, would be the best fit for me, honestly. Obviously, the goal is to play at the highest level that I can, but just playing college at all, that's just, like, my goal. So whatever that looks like, and if it works, then I'll be doing that.
Well, I've learned a few things over the years. Never doubt an Admison, right? When you set your mind to something, you guys absolutely go after it. All right, one last question, boys, before we bring in Steven Hicks. What you guys designing the ring?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you guys lit up for that one. All right.
So you finished it.
All right.
Yeah.
Describe it really quick.
So on the top, I think we're doing the gray base, right?
Yeah.
Silver. We're going like the old school silver one. I know a lot of people do the black ones now, but we did that for the NorCal one. We wanted to do silver for this one. The side has some blue emerald. The top has a bunch of diamonds and then a black emerald and then the CN logo on it. And says Sex and Champs on that. The side has, like, the last name and number and track champions on one side. And on the bottom, we got Never Forget ingrained in it because that was, like, a team thing this year, kind of, like, hyping ourselves up for every game and stuff. So that's pretty much the gist of the ring.
And when are those coming in? Soon? A couple weeks?
Next, like, five weeks, I think.
Oh, next 5 weeks?
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff. Well, you guys definitely deserve those rings. You guys earned it. You put it in work. You beat St. Joseph's in that incredible game, and you got that NorCal Open Division win against Branson. Yep. Play, and you could tell, you could say forevermore you're Valley champs, Central Section champs, but you also played against the best of the best. You laid it all on the floor. So,
sure.
Boys, this was a lot of fun. Enjoyed watching you guys
Thank
this
you.
Year.
Thank
so, you congratulations. You get, definitely deserved everything that you got. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yep. You Thank bet. You. All right. Connor Adamson and McKay Adamson. Really good stuff there. Love talking to those boys. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC 30, about all that stuff that's happening at Fresno State and much, much more. Coming up on 1430 ESPN. Well, that was a lot of fun talking with Connor Amundson and McKay about their incredible basketball season. And that was a goal for them. That was a goal for their family, is to win a Central Section title with their dad, and they did it. I mean, God, what a great story, right? They're in here right now, mom and dad, getting a letterman's jacket, right? So good for business here at First String Sports as well. There's not a lot of room on Connor's jacket. This guy's going to have a couple more patches there. Central Section champion, I'm sure he's going to make All-State for Cal High Sports as well. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. If you guys missed any part of the show, you could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com. You could listen to any part of the shows under podcasts, Central Valley Sports Report. Actually, the baseball game that we broadcast last night between Edison and Clovis West, won by the Golden Eagles 6-0. Go back and listen to that. And we hear a lot of people that say, hey, it was fun to go back and listen and hear my son's name or hear my grandson's name or granddaughter's name. We've done some softball games, obviously, women's, girls' basketball as well. So, anyways, good stuff. So go to 1430ESPNFresno.com and check all that out. All right, Stephen Hicks coming in live here at First String Sports, sports director at ABC 30, friend of the show. Could talk about all kinds of sports and all the different levels. That's what I love talking with Stephen about. So, first of all, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Good to be here, Paul.
Absolutely. And you're a big outdoor guy.
Yeah.
Follow you on the social medias. I didn't see you on these grand, majestic mountains and
California's
all these.
California's got a lot.
Golf courses, right? Yeah. Have you recently had any cool excursions? You got one planned for spring break or summer or something?
I tell you what, the snow scares the heck out of me. So right now it's beach time. I just got back from a camping trip down to Malibu and looking forward to the summer when I can get back in the Sierra Nevada. I've got a couple trips planned out in Yosemite and then one on the Lost Coast up near Mendocino.
I've heard of that one. What's the draw for that?
It's pretty remote. It's, you know, there's not a lot of roads. You kind of hike in, hike out along the coastline. So, yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. Hey,
all right, cell phone service. What
you
is there
a,
like
know.
A universal, like, what do you do to make sure that you don't get lost?
Print the maps. You kind of have some like GPS trackers, okay. You know, for when the cell service is down. But you kind of anticipate that you're not going to have cell service. So it is kind of exciting to go in. You know, how often in life do we have that these days where you can go 2-3 days and just come back to the world and be like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A couple of years ago, actually, when I went on a week-long trip on the High Sierra Trail, I came back and my coworker at the time, Bree Mellon, had an interview that went viral and it was picked up across the world where Devontae Adams said he wanted to reunite with Derek Carr. And it was like it happened 4 days prior. And I was like, Bree, what did you do while I was gone? So that was pretty cool.
She went viral. I remember that video.
Yeah.
I remember. So you had no idea. It is good, Stephen, to unplug every once in a while. Heck, there I've had like 7 or 8 hour stretches sometimes. And that, oh, my gosh, even that coming out of my mouth sounds crazy. But and then you come back to Twitter and you're like, why did I even go back? You know, and check this stuff. It's nice to unplug.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
And Coach Tedford's got the great advice. He says every spring ball, he's like, you know, these guys work so hard. Go find a beach somewhere. And I heard that about 6-7 years ago from him, and I've taken that to heart. So.
And you're a pretty avid golfer, too. You played a little college golf. And what's been one of your favorite courses to play on or perhaps your dream course?
I like to call myself a former golfer. Yeah, I
okay.
played in college
right.
and then a full-time job got in the way. But, you know, the course is up in Pebble Beach. I can't afford Pebble Beach. Obviously, that's kind of the bucket list goal for a lot of guys. But Poppy Hills, Pacific Grove, they call that poor man's pebble up there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
And you played those?
I played those, yeah.
You shoot okay or not? You know what I
did.
Admit?
I played a couple years ago. I shot, I think, 76 at
oh,
Poppy.
Right.
I think I shot 70. I don't know what I shot at Pacific Grove, but, yeah. You don't worry too much about the score when you're looking at the Pacific Ocean every hole.
You don't, yeah, just for that experience. So I want to – how about March Madness, right? Walk into First String Sports, they got on a TV. It dominates, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, 12 hours of basketball on you know, on the different sites. So March Madness, it's how's your bracket look?
It's on fire. How's yours?
What? Serious?
Yeah, of course it's on fire. There's so many upsets.
In a bad way. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant, yeah, I'm on fire with my picks.
No.
It's blown up.
It's like a dumpster fire.
Fire.
I've ripped it to shreds. Yeah, I have nothing left.
Did you at least pick some of those 11s over 6s?
The only one I got was James Madison over Wisconsin.
You got that one?
Yeah.
You didn't like Wisconsin, huh?
No, I think it was, the third time in four tries that they lost to a double-digit seed, something like that. James Madison always seems to be this underdog that can sneak a couple wins out. So I'll brag about that pick.
Yeah, 12 over 5s, that always happens, right? We had a 13 over 4, right? Or is there two of them? Was there two?
There
Yale?
Was one 13, one 14, the 14 Oakland of Michigan,
Oakland, uh-huh.
Yeah. Which was news to me. I thought that was Oakland of the Bay Area. It's Oakland of Michigan.
And I think you just surprised 74% of the people out there by saying that.
Yeah.
It's not Oakland
Tech. Golden Grizzlies of
the
Oakland,
Golden Grizzlies.
Michigan.
The Golden Grizzlies. All right. So I mentioned in my opener, too, obviously, when we're done with the show here, NCAA basketball is going to be on. But, you know, let's talk about Fresno State. Lots to unpack with that, with the basketball program. So in your opinion, Stephen, what type of head coach do you think Fresno State needs?
I think the question they should be asking first is, do they hire a head coach first, or do they hire an athletic director? Obviously, the news with Terry Toomey coming a week after Justin Hutson's departure. My understanding, I wasn't here for the last couple instances of this, but it seems that there's always been an opening for the head basketball coach and an opening for the athletic director, and those two positions kind of need to go hand in hand, and they need to be pulling the same rope. And from what I've heard behind the scenes, that was not going on with Hutson and Toomey. And so my first impression would be to hire the athletic director. You know what I mean? And it seems like they're further down the road with basketball, and so I'm worried that history might repeat itself and they might hire an AD who comes in after the basketball coach has been hired. You know, but in terms of what they need for basketball, it starts with name, image, and likeness. And Saul Jimenez-Sandoval, the president of Fresno State, said as much. It's a different era right now in 2024 than 2018 when Justin Hutson was here. And guys are getting paid to play basketball. Like, let's just say what it is. And they need to find a way to find that money. You know what I mean? And Fresno, you know, it's hard. It's a hardworking town. It's the dollar, you know. I see you nodding your head, Paul.
Well, yeah, I don't understand, honestly. Maybe somebody a lot smarter than me understands the chain of command, so to speak. And, you know, I know Bulldog Bread and Chris Pacheco's done a phenomenal job. I just saw something on Twitter that a few different organizations have donated $50,000, and somebody replied, yeah, but that's a third party. So I can't connect the dots right now.
I
don't know what that looks like.
The university can't get involved in the name, image, likeness stuff.
Got it.
So it has to be a third party like Bulldog Bread,
okay,
right? And so they're the ones kind of funneling the money to the athletes. So Mikey Keene, Malik Sherrod, they're kind of on the payroll, and I use that with the air quotes because, you know, they're not professional athletes, but they're getting paid to play,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And you look at the Mountain West and the success that they had this year, six teams, I believe that's a record.
Mm-hmm.
Three teams win in the same tournament, that's a record. And those programs, what sets them apart from Fresno State? It was the investment, not just from the university, putting more money in than Fresno State did, but the community as well. I mean, New Mexico, the rumor that we've been hearing for the last year when Jamal Baker transferred and went there is that the starters are getting paid six figures. You know what I mean? So that's $500,000 for five guys to be put on the basketball court. But you saw what it did. It got them to the NCAA tournament. So the question is, is Fresno State going to invest in that way?
Yeah, the money's there, I think, right? The community, I mean, there's lots of money out there. So, yeah, the game has definitely changed. And are we looking at a younger coach or a coach that's been, you know, around a while? You know, somebody that we don't like to use the word stepping stone. We don't want to be a stepping stone. But are we going to have a young guy that's able to, you know, mingle with the community, be a little more – you know, what should I say, animated and, you know, likable, for lack of a better word, than previous coaches.
I think you've got to – you have two kind of guys, right, two potential guys that you're drawing up, right? The young guy who doesn't have a lot of experience but will generate the excitement and will help with the name, image, likeness. I kind of point to a Quincy Pondexter type. You know, fans have been saying that for years. He's interested behind the scenes. I don't know if Fresno's going to go down that road of giving a guy an opportunity. He's 37 years old, never been a head coach. That would be a big risk for the university, but I think you have to take a shot, you know what I mean, in this era. Or you go down the road of a guy who maybe – and I've heard some very exciting things behind the scenes,
yeah.
Paul. I won't say the name I've heard, but I'll paint a picture of a guy who coached in the NBA, who is interested in the job, and has coached a lot of famous NBA players, who reportedly is interested in this job. I can't say who it is, but he's on the older spectrum. You know what I mean? Quincy's 37. This guy is in his 70s, let's say. And so either way, it's a risk. And so does the university take that risk of saying, we're going to go young, we're going to go old, but it's going to generate excitement? Or do they kind of find the median guy who's been an assistant coach for 5, 10 years, 20 years, like a Ryan Miller at Creighton? Or the guy, Aramide, who's on the staff now, came from Arizona State, obviously had a lot of success in the AAU circles up in Canada. And that's the big question everyone's kind of looking
and
for right
I
now.
I heard Shante Leggins, right, who played at Fresno State, and, you know, as a name to be looked at as well.
Or Vance Wahlberg, who got an interview, obviously has been a head coach before, and that was a very different era when he was at Pepperdine, but that guy can coach.
And I know – I don't want to speak for Vance, obviously, but I know he's always been interested in that job, and he thought he had it many years ago. He thought he had the job, and it changed on him. So yeah, it's always interesting to talk about that. And you know, I think when I talk about Fresno State basketball, when I talk about Fresno State sports in general, I talk a lot about it from a fan's perspective. I don't, you know, I'm not going to press conferences, and you know, I listen to them obviously afterwards on the radio, but you know, it's just. As a fan, especially with basketball, football's been great. I got season tickets to football. That's been a lot of fun. But basketball, right, it's just kind of dead. So, you know, you look at the student section, and it's so sad. We make our jokes every time me and my buddies go to Fresno State game, right? It's the band, right, and a few other students that are there for maybe something free that's going to be thrown their way. So what does the program or the university have to do to invigorate the fan base with basketball?
Boy, if I had that answer, I might be applying for the AD job. I think there's a lot of things you could do, right? You know, I think they're offering free tickets to students, and so that's an incentive. I think they've tried, you know, free AirPods. If you show up, you'll be entered into a raffle, and those have been big nights. I think it starts and ends with winning, right? Once you start winning games, you start being relevant. Students are going to want to show up, and they're going to want to be a part of something and have the pride in the university that they're going to. And I think for you and I and guys our age and maybe a little bit older, once the students start showing up and creating that atmosphere, then the community is going to show up,
sure.
Right? And Justin Hutson kind of had that in 2019. You know what I mean? There was a little bit of an atmosphere there. I remember the Nevada game when the Martin twins were there and they were ranked in the top 10, I think. They opened up the top for the first time in years. And so you don't have to look back that far to kind of see the blueprint for how it is. But you're right. I mean, it is sad right now to go to the Save Mart Center, and you can count the bodies in the seats right now. But I think it starts and ends with winning.
Yeah, and I think we want a head coach that we can get behind, that we believe in. And we're a community-based, you know, central section, right? We love community. We love rooting for certain players, and we haven't been able – I mean, Orlando Robinson, right? We definitely rooted for him. We got behind him. But since then, with the transfers, the NIL,
so
we
hard.
Can't get behind guys.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, JoJo Hunter was one of those guys, right? That was extremely unfortunate. But, yeah, we want teams that we can root for, players that we get to know, players, you know.
Or coaches that
coaches.
You can get to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what is Pat Hill – what has made him so successful? Yeah. He was – everywhere up and down the 99, he was in Bakersfield, Modesto. He was at the car washes, you know what I mean? And
yes.
Everyone across the valley.
The Visalia Quarterbacks Club.
Yeah, everyone
right?
identified with him. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, not to pick on Hutson, but he didn't really have that community impression and impact. And so whoever's next, you know what I mean? Whether it be that the older guy that I've heard rumblings about or the young Quincy, it's got to, they've got to buy into the community and show up and be at all these functions.
I agree. Agree 100%. I do have a fact here that I wanted to mention. I didn't want to do this research for nothing, but the, you know, Terry Toomey leaving 6 years, right? 6 years of Fresno State. So the average tenure of all 348 Division I schools, the average tenure of ADs is 6.83 years, down from 7 in 2016. So since January of 2016, 18% of all Division I ADs have the jobs have turned over. So, you know, it's athletic director at any level is extremely difficult.
And he got an extension, right? He was in his second contract. He got a 2-year extension, and we just got through year one before they let him go. And so he did a lot of good things when he was here. Obviously, he cut the program, or I don't know if he cut it and said, I'm going to come in here and cut this, but he was handed the deck of cards to say, financially, we've got to figure something out, and he cut women's lacrosse, men's tennis, and obviously the big blow for the community was wrestling. But the community involvement, you know, with football, the attendance is, you know, dramatically improved in those 6 years when he was here. I think it's not a big exciting thing where you can point to, but the creative teams behind the scenes, he had a huge you know, kind of push in that department, and that built the national brand of Fresno State, where they ended up on SportsCenter the night they beat UCLA at the Rose Bowl with the social tweets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of exposure puts Fresno State in the minds of a lot of people across the country, and when you're winning again like they were a couple years ago, kind of makes people across the country say, I want to go be a Bulldog.
Yeah, I agree. And again, the Fresno State football experiences are great now with the Sweet Caroline and the phone lights and the lights going off. And it still trips me out, right, when they score. Is that in the fourth quarter when the lights go dark, or is that
They turn it off for every touchdown. I think that's, you know, Central High is doing that now. But
still trips me out.
I think they turn off the lights heading into the fourth where everyone brings out their cell phone.
Yeah. That's it. Great stuff. All right, I want to keep going with Fresno State stuff. So last night you were at Margie Wright Stadium. Amanda Scott finally had her jersey retired, right? Why didn't it happen sooner? She's a legend. She's gold, right? And what was that like? What was last night like?
It was really special. I was worried I would miss it because the game was ending as I was about to go on air at 6:24, and Alyssa Ramirez hits a home run to tie it, send it to extra innings. I'm able to make it out there, and the game just kept going on. It ended up going to 13 innings, but it was really special to see, you know, not just Amanda finally get the recognition, but Donna Pickle, who was the first head coach. She had started it as a club team back in 76, and 2 years later, it's an official team, and she hands the reins to Margie Wright, and we know what she did. But Amanda, it was cool to hear her talk about the fans who weren't around anymore, you know what I mean, and the support that she remembers from that 98 season when they won the national championship. And boy, what a special player Scott was. To just look at the stats, I mean, they speak for themselves. To be a four-time All-American, MVP of the College World Series, and what's crazy is she had over 100 wins in the circle. I think she was 104 and like 12 or something like that. Still got a number of records. I mean, we could be here all day listing all of them, but lowest ERA, wins consecutively. I mean, she was a special player.
She was. And then obviously her dad, Ron Scott, longtime coach at Fresno City College, recently retired. So yeah, Amanda Scott, she's one of the greats to come out of the Central section. All right, Steven, we only got a couple minutes here. Pro day, did you get to go? No, you
did not get to pro day. Yeah,
for President, I know Carlton Johnson really stood out. What did he run? A 4.28.
What's going on with these Central Valley guys? Him, Xavier Worthy running the 4.2. I did talk to Worthy after he set that record at the
combine. Okay, all right. So what did he say? What was your takeaways?
He said he kind of knew he would do something like that. You know what I mean? And he ran something close to it, right? Where it was up in the air whether or not he even had to run again, and he goes out there and does it, and again, the confidence for a young man like that to kind of push all the chips in, and it could hurt his draft stock, and instead he's got his cleats now and his jersey heading to Canton for the Hall of Fame. That's pretty special. And Mike McDaniel, speaking of Pro Day, was at his Longhorn Pro Day with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some buzz there. I mean, can you imagine the speedster that Worthy is going to a system like that in Miami?
Perfect, right? Line up next to Tyreek Hill, maybe return some punts and some kickoffs. All right. Great stuff. All right, Steven. This has been awesome. Thanks for coming in to First String Sports, chopping it up, hanging out. What do you got going for the next day or two?
Well, I can't get to the mountains. I can't get to the beach. So we're gonna unplug the best we can in Fresno and maybe get some tri-tip.
Watch some college basketball. Right.
Good weekend for that.
We need some more buzzer beaters. We need a little more.
There hasn't been one, right?
No. I think we're gonna get one. We're going to get one later tonight.
Who are you rooting for? I didn't ask you that.
Who am I rooting for? I don't know. I don't like UConn.
Not a Hurley fan.
North Carolina. Not a big Hurley fan. I do have UConn in my bracket, though, right? Because it's pretty much the safe pick. Right? Who am I rooting for? That's a really good question.
The Mountain West gets some units.
Utah State.
Way, yeah.
Right? What a great story. Utah State, right? The coach comes in and returns 0 points from the year before.
And bringing this back to Fresno State, I think that's the pathway forward for them. I think they also had an AD opening last year. So new AD, new head coach, bunch of guys in the portal, and look at them. They're in the round of 32.
All right, let's do it. All right, we've spoken into existence. Fresno State's going to do it. All right, Stephen, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, Paul.
Absolutely. All right, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Of course, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show. Bill Fever, head coach at Fowler. Jason Pappy, head coach of Fresno High. They got Easter Classic tournaments happening. Make sure you guys go check that out. Connor McKay Adminson as well. And Stephen Hicks, sports producer for ABC 30. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.